Lots of talk this week about Dodd-Frank and what is going to happen with those regulations impacting banks. Also, news about commercial real estate this week. It's the topic of our thought leader conversation this morning. And this week's thought leader is Breck Hansen, the vice chairman and former head of commercial real estate at Associated Bank. Breck, good to have you with us today.
Good to see you, Steve.
Good to have you. Let's start first with the elephant in the room. That is a lot of discussion about Dodd-Frank in recent days and where that's headed. As somebody who's in the business, what is the status?
Well, the status, I think, is good. I think, and I think the point to take away from this is we haven't asked that Dodd-Frank be repealed. And recall, Dodd-Frank was over 1,000 pages of regulatory comments and regulatory implementation. The status is that we're taking a 120-day look to look at the possible reform of Dodd-Frank. And there are, not the comments specifically, but there are things in Dodd-Frank that probably were unnecessary or extra reporting for banks that possibly isn't needed. And then there were things that were very good. As an example, the Associated Bank, our expenses in terms of just the complying with Dodd-Frank over the past several years have been in the $25 to $30 million a year range. And those are expenses that you don't recover, and you know there aren't revenues to go to the bottom line. So people are optimistic that maybe some of that regulation or reporting will be cut back, and that should be good.
And in talking with some of your thought leader colleagues at Associated Bank, too, the idea is that eventually consumers could end up being the big winners here in that a bank like the Associated Bank actually gets to focus on some other things.
Well, not only other things. I think, you know, consumers were the target of a lot of the Dodd-Frank. The thing is that I think there will be people, again, that maybe didn't qualify for mortgage financing that could. There will be situations with credit cards that may be positive for consumers.
As we sit here, and again, we'll wait and see how this unfolds, so stay tuned on that. But as we sit here talking with a lot of people in real estate, both commercial and residential, it sounds like this is shaping up to be a really, really good year in that area.
Well, whenever I'm put in front of a group, the group usually wants to hear about residential because that affects everybody in the room. And if you look at sales in Chicago of single family and in particular condos, because that's so much of the inventory in the condo, they were relatively flat in the fourth quarter. And people were wondering, had we had a real estate bubble and had it flattened again for certain reasons? And in talking to the brokerage community, they really believe that, surprisingly, October, the Cub run and the World Championship really consumed a lot of Chicago people and took the energy out of them to look for a home. Then we move into the November, December, which is normally a downtime for transactions in the home business. And what happened in November was the election, and then we look at what's happened in the stock market. And a lot of people are feeling really good about their financial condition. Couple that with the fact that it looks like interest rates are going to move up. And my understanding is that contracts for condo, single-family home sales in January are already at close to record highs.
Yeah, anecdotally, a couple of the real estate blogs I follow and hearing from folks, we're hearing maybe double-digit contracts in the residential area already for January. And we're not, that month's already over and February moving in. Sounds like it's hot.
Well, part of that's pent up, given the factors I talked about earlier, and part of that's seasonal. Residential people for years have told me that Super Bowl Sunday, which just occurred, historically is when people come out and look again. So if we're already moving contracts before that period, get ready. We should have a good first quarter.
And so from the standpoint of if you're a buyer or even a seller, but buyer specifically, you have in the back of your head this possibility of 3 interest rate hikes this year. Is that the thinking? Is that something that people should really, really consider if they're on the fence?
Well, I don't know if it's the, really you have in the back of your head not only three interest rate hikes, but you have in the back of your head that possibly this run-up in stock market value could be a blip and go down, and why not take some money off the table, and why not do it in the housing market now? So there's a lot of factors going on. You've got, you know, we talked about, you got pent-up demand, you've got the interest rate situation, and you've got the fact that people that are in the market for a home actually feel better about their financial condition right now.
Let's talk a little bit about commercial, because I know you recently were one of the guests at the 15th Annual Commercial Real Estate Forecast Conference. I actually have a photograph of you here. It says Icons in Commercial Real Estate right under a picture of you. Congratulations, you're an icon.
Humbling, I'd say. Actually, and I mean that sincerely, that the gentleman and the lady that I had an opportunity to be on that panel with are very experienced and successful in different sectors of real estate, and I feel like they needed a banker, and I was available, and it was a privilege.
One of the discussions was bringing some of these commercial developments to neighborhoods, that now that we see a lot of this stuff happening downtown with big corporate headquarters moving here, Caterpillar, the latest, that maybe we could spread a little of that out to the neighborhoods. What was that discussion like?
You know, it's interesting. In the 90s and early 2000s, a lot of commercial development, whether it be retail or office, was on the outskirts, you know, the Yorkvilles of the world or the that kind of thing. And what we found is that infill sites and neighborhood sites that are handy, you know, and let's talk about retail, have really been the focus of people developing, and a lot smaller footprint. And you know, what's happened with Amazon and online, people still like to touch, but convenience in terms of close and supporting those neighborhoods as people move into the city, and of course these headquarters have moved into the city, it's become a very urban model.
And these corporations specifically saying they're coming to these areas to attract the talent, the young people that are moving to these neighborhoods. It seems like a good mix no matter how you look at it.
Well, and on the corporate side, yes, and these young people don't have cars. So they like the lifestyle in the city, not to mention the nightlife, and it makes a lot of sense, and it's not going to stop. I mean, we've got, you know, you've got Google, but you've got McDonald's coming downtown, and you've got any number of others doing the same thing.
What was the forecast for the year? I know that a lot of you were discussing that at this meeting. Is it a positive one, an optimistic one for the year?
I think the forecast is, you know, was, and, you know, none of us have a crystal ball, so to speak, but I'd say cautiously optimistic, not stupendous growth, but more of the same and steady growth. I don't think the 2 or 3 time interest rate hike really is something that the real estate market fears. I think that we've had the interest rates are so low, most of these projects work with, you know, a two or three time interest rate hike, which, recall, is normally 25 basis points at a whack. So.
Is there any way as we move through the year that how are we going to know if it's going one way or the other?
Well, so much of just the attitude of commercial real estate developers, individuals, day-to-day is related to what's happening in Washington. So how are we going to know? Everything, you know, a week seems like a long cycle now, and I think it's we're going to know, as an example, if this infrastructure boom that both the Democrats and the Republicans talks about gets kicked off, that's going to be positive for development. Now, one of the problems we're going to have is, and I can see it as we work with contractors through our clients at the bank, is we've had kind of a hiatus of this development, and we're missing skilled workers in some cases, and that's going to be an issue coming forward. But it'll be a good issue because it'll mean things are happening.
Skilled workers in the you mean in these corporations that want to build in these areas?
In the contracting firms and the trades and things like that. People that haven't been employed the last 6-7 years during the recession now are in demand, and you know, there's less of them than the demand as we begin to build again.
It's a good segue point, too, with workers and training. And I understand one of the trends for the coming year in banking, there's a nice battle shaping up to get the best people possible behind the counter and in the back offices and on the floors of the banks.
One of the major ways we can differentiate in our industry is the people we put in front of the client base. And that particularly is impactful when you talk about commercial lending and commercial real estate lending. And if you think about what's happened, we've gone through this recession period, we haven't really had the farm system or the training system that we had historically because we've been licking our wounds and trying to cut expenses and stay alive through a recessionary period. So those bankers that have experience and, more importantly, the relationships become more limited, number one, and more valuable. And so that, you know, I've said for years, if you've got a commercial banker or a relationship person that can bring in business, you normally can't pay them enough because, you know, the good ones, it's the 80-20 rule. You know, 20% of your people historically bring in 80% of your bottom line income. And so the fight for those 20% is going to be a big deal.
So if you're one of those people out there, it's also, too, being specialized in so many areas that bankers today have to know so much stuff about so many different things.
I think that the model is that you can't be specialized in all those things, but you can have specialists, and that the good relationship manager becomes a quarterback and knows enough about all those businesses to understand when and how to bring a product to a client or a potential client, and then has to have the specialists in-house that they trust with their client to take over.
As we head here into the next week, it's almost Valentine's Day. I kind of joked about the beginning of the interview about this. You're kind of in your pink shirt today. What are you, a chocolate guy or a flowers guy?
Oh, I'm a flowers guy. Roses and fresh flowers, not plants. It's much more effective.
I had you pegged as a chocolate guy.
Well, I'm really not a chocolate guy, and my wife would give it away. So,
Well, happy Valentine's Day to you and your wife, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me in, Steve.
For the WGN Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation, it's Breck Hansen, Vice Chairman and former head of commercial real estate at the Associated Bank. And remember to follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter and listen to our past Thought Leader Conversations at WGNRadio.com and live every Thursday morning here on The Opening Bell.